Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there and good morning. It's 9 o'clock. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We are live in the studio. Dr. Umat has the weekend off. So Dr. Jerry Mixon is here answering the questions. And as we're getting through those phone calls this morning, our lines are open for you. Now is a good time to call. We'll get you in the queue. Here's the number to call to be live on the studio with your questions, 800-465-8770. That number again is 800-465-8770. All right, we have Steve on the line. Good morning, Steve. Thank you for calling back.
Good morning. I was in a military unit once that had five of Steves, so everybody got a number.
Oh, boy. It's a great name.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes. And happy birthday, doctor. Question is, involves a melanoma. I had a melanoma in the lower back successfully taken out by the VA. They said, oh, we got it all. You're looking good. And then socially, this was about a month ago, wounds healing up fine. Socially with a friend of mine who's a doctor, he said, oh.
Oh, we lost you there, Steve.
All up here.
Okay, we lost you for just a second. So the friend that was a doctor said what?
Socially here, if you didn't follow up with an oncologist, we didn't discuss follow up. Maybe every 6 months.
You're breaking up. I'm understanding about every third word.
Yeah, we might have to have you sit still for just a moment, maybe.
Are you on Wi-Fi or something?
Just off of, can you hear me now?
Kinda. It's
kind of moving.
Yeah, it sounds like kind of like a tin can.
How does it sound now?
Okay. If you don't move, you could be okay.
The word now was clear.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
No, it's.
Oh, you might need to call us back real quick, Steve. Let's see if we can get another.
Hang up and call back and see if we get a better connection because this is unintelligible. And
we want to talk to you.
Melanoma is one I don't want to make mistakes on because it's too serious. So,
yes, hang up and call
back and see if we get a better connection, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Good. Hopefully we'll get a better connection with him in just a few seconds. But he's talking about melanoma. It's on his back. And what should we look for, doctor?
My guess, and again, this is a guess because I really couldn't understand what he was saying. But he said, he talked to a doctor at a social event and the guy said, you better go in and get it followed up. Yeah. Melanomas, even when you resect and get the primary and it looks like you have clear margins, this is one that spreads fast and early. So we've made dramatic improvements in melanoma treatments, but it has to go beyond surgery. Surgery is just the first step. So I'm really interested in hearing what the oncologist told him.
Yes. Okay. So we're waiting for him to connect again.
Yeah. Back when I was a young doc, my very first practice, about 80% of melanoma patients were dead within a year from the time that you made the diagnosis.
I lost a sister that way. Yeah. And it was about 30 years ago. We've got Steve back. Let's hope it's a better connection.
Let's hope for a good connection this time.
How does it sound now?
Much better.
Yes. Much better. Okay. So you went to the oncologist?
Yeah.
Well, so no, it was a friend of mine, socially a doctor friend, said, oh, have you been doing a follow-up oncologist? And I was through the VA, so nothing was mentioned about follow-up oncologist. So should I go back in and ask?
You need to see an oncologist for serious follow-up, yes. Let me tell you a little bit. Let me tell you the scary stuff about that particular disease, okay? When I was a young doctor 50 years ago, just starting out, whenever we made a diagnosis of melanoma, even a small one on an arm, we knew that 8 out of 10 times that patient would be dead within the year. This is a disease that spreads early and aggressively. Okay. So surgery, excising the primary lesion is just the first step. That's not all your treatment. Okay. Because they need to take a really aggressive workup looking for any evidence that this may have already spread. So, yes, you need follow-up by a really first-rate oncology team and preferably one that specializes in malignant melanoma because this is a nasty actor. Now, we've got some newer therapies, some immunotherapies, where they're actually training your body to find and kill malignant melanoma cells that have already spread. And they've got some compounds where they can actually make antibodies to malignant melanoma and inject them into your body and let that go through your system and search out and kill these critters. So the cure rate is now very, very good. Okay, it's not like the bad old days when almost everybody died in less than a year. Now most people do pretty good. But it takes more than just cutting out the primary. You got to look really hard and aggressively for spread, just in case. Right?
Okay.
So get yourself back into a first-rate oncologist. And if the VA is slow and sloppy, and remember, time matters. This disease spreads fast and it grows quick. And if they tell you, oh, yeah, we can get you in 3 months, you go pay out of pocket and get a private oncologist because you can't wait 3 months. All right?
All right. All right. Well, definitely appreciate it.
Okay, sir. Good luck.
Yes. Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, this is something that's so important. We have so many sun worshipers this time of year out in the sunshine and they're just roasting and it's like, oh, you got to take care of that skin. And what are some things we should look for since we're wearing, bearing all the skin these days, Dr. Mixon?
The good news is up here in the Northwest, we tend to hide from the sun. We don't, we aren't Southern California, Florida, and Texas where, where by 50 people are using leather for skin. But the problem with malignant melanoma is sunblocks don't protect you. So malignant melanoma, it's the UVB, not the UVA, that seems to trigger it. And the blocks, sunblocks are best against UVA.
Okay.
Only so-so against B. So any pigmented lesion on your skin, anything that has any dark color, should be looked at by your physician. And what the doctor is looking for is variegations in color or texture. If it's got smooth, only one color with nice smooth edges, it's probably fine. But anything that has ragged edges or anything that has multiple colors in it needs to be looked at more closely.
Okay.
So,
and is your dermatologist an option, or what would you suggest?
Your dermatologist is a great option.
Okay.
In fact, probably the best option if he's had a malignant melanoma.
Okay, to go there.
He needs to go in and strip down. This needs to be a completely naked, every single inch of his skin needs to be looked at, and it needs to be looked at frequently. But the scary thing with malignant melanoma is it starts in the skin. But it rapidly spreads to the heart, the lungs, the bones, the bowel. I mean, it spreads everywhere.
Okay.
So this is one that just skin exams is not adequate. So skin exams should be done for everybody. And here's any place that has pigment can get a melanoma. And so it can happen in your eyes. You get it in your iris and so on. So you got color to your skin, you are high risk of, you're at risk of melanomas.
Okay, something not to ignore.
Yep.
Something that's very important. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine, talking about medicine and your health as you're aging. Dr. Jerry Mixon here, and we are headed to Bellevue today. We have Yolanda on the line. Good morning, Yolanda.
Hello, Yolanda.
Good morning. Thank you for answering my call, doctor. I do suffer from depression, and I do have meibomian gland dysfunction, and I have been taking the doctor prescribed for the depression mirtazapine, and the mirtazapine constipate me a lot, and I gain weight, and so I was looking for an alternative, another medication to take, and I was talking to the pharmacist, and then she said that the mirtazapine will dry my eyes more, and so she suggested, she said, maybe talk to your doctor and see if escitalopram is a better medication for you. So I talked to my doctor, and she said, yeah, I can give you that, but that will take care of the depression. But the problem that you have sleeping, it might get worse, because sometimes this medication gives insomnia. And when I went to get the medication, it has a lot of May side effects that just freak me out. Mm-hmm. And I don't choose to know which one. Shall I just keep taking the mirtazapine, even though it dries my eyes a lot more because I have the meibomian gland dysfunction?
Mm-hmm.
Or shall I switch to the other one and take the chances of those too many chances that I might have?
Yes. Okay.
Wow, big decision.
Well, yes, it is, and certainly not the guy on the radio to tell you what to do with this one. Okay. You're seeing a psychiatrist, not a psychologist, I presume?
I'm seeing my regular doctor, just my regular doctor that I go.
The family
physician.
And I also
go and see a doctor for my eyes for the meibomian gland dysfunction.
Okay. Yeah, well, the ophthalmologist is the guy to give you guidance on the meibomian gland. Obviously, the MGD
right.
is a ophthalmologic issue, not the one that your guy doing the depression can handle. Boy, here's our problem with the antidepressants. Okay, almost all of the antidepressants cause weight gain. And weight gain tends to make women more depressed. It just does. Women don't like getting fatter. So the trick is, you know, you have to use an antidepressant if you really need an antidepressant, but you want to use the lowest dose you possibly can. But what are you doing in the way of lifestyle to help your depression?
And this is the problem that I have, and I think that's why I am depressed. I know this is why I am depressed, because with the meibomian gland dysfunction, I am so restricted with the things that I can do, because the air conditioner, the wind, everything bothers my eyes. So okay. I sleep with goggles, so can I just trap the air and mm-hmm. kind of maybe it does help, those goggles that I sleep with. And I use eye drops, and I have had lipid flow and all that, but all those things, it just come now, it helps okay. very little. And I think this is why I am so depressed, because I love to be outside and doing the outdoors and working in the garden and all that. And sometimes I go for a few minutes just to get out, because I do need a break. Mm-hmm. And then I had to come back, and then of course after that, and I had to pay for it, you know, because if it's windy or cold, okay. it really irritates my eyes a lot. And so I also use warm compresses 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. And yes. And I wanted to ask you also before I forget, for the sleeping problem, can I take the relief factor that you sell?
Hold on. Okay, hold on a few seconds. We have to take a break. You hear the music? But I'm going to, you just hold on, don't go away.
Yep, stay right there, Yolanda.
We'll chat with you when we get back after this break, okay?
Yes, okay. Yolanda, you stay right there, and we will be back for more Leading Edge Medicine. If you have a question for Dr. Mixon, this is the phone number to get through, just like Yolanda. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. It's Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We're glad you're here. Welcome to the show. We invite you to call in and talk with us about your health questions. What's going on in your body as you're aging? 800-465-8770. Quick question for you, Dr. Mixon, before we get back to Yolanda. The name of that little patch that you would use for diabetes, Bob is wanting to know, what do I ask my doctor for? Was it the lifestyle?
I think it's the Freestyle Libre.
Freestyle Libre.
Or Lifestyle Libre. I'd have to look up and see.
If you said something like that, your doctor would probably know.
Lifestyle or Freestyle Libre is the cheapest one. It's like $200 or something. Mm-hmm. And then you just buy the patches, and it's got a free app you put on your cell phone.
Okay.
So it'll report directly to your cell phone, and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You know what's going on.
You know what your sugars are.
Very
running.
Good. I know that Mark, our producer of the show, that's the one he uses, and so he's really had good success with that. Yeah. Okay. So Lifestyle Libre or Freestyle Libre is what you need to ask. All right. Let's go back to Yolanda. Yolanda, thank you for waiting. We were talking about what you can do for the depression that you're dealing with.
Okay. Several things, Yolanda. We need to get you physically active. We just have to. There are a fair number of studies that show that an aggressive exercise program is every bit as effective as medication for depression. So, you know, if the exercise program is as good as medicine, instead of stopping the medicine, you do the medicine and the exercise program. But we need to get you out and moving. The other thing is for your eye, are you on omega-3s? Are you taking, you know, a high-dose fish oil supplement of some sort?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're taking the high-dose fish oil supplement, you probably don't need Relief Factor, because Relief Factor has that, but you're already taking it, so why double up, okay? Now, for your sleep, we do have a thing. If you go to relieffactor.com, we do have a thing there that is Sleep by Relief Factor, which is a sleep supplement to help you sleep better, so you might want to give that a try. But that's not going to fix your eyes. That's just for sleep.
Mm-hmm. And the depression.
Well, the depression is a whole different issue. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, she believes she knows what's triggering the depression, and she might be right. Mm-hmm. But I would be interested in getting a good psychiatrist instead of just the family doctor to evaluate that for her, at least. And then if the psychiatrist says the family doctor's prescriptions are appropriate, then stay with the family doctor's prescriptions. But in addition to that, we've got to get her moving, because physical activity is as effective as medication for depression. And so the two together are better than either one alone. So this lifestyle change is important. So we've got to get her out and moving. And, you know, those goggles that she's sleeping with?
Yes.
If they are clear, if she can see with them as opposed to dark goggles, she can wear goggles while she's out on the trail, you know, to keep the wind off her eyes.
That's true.
And so
they are clear. And sometimes when my eyes are really bothering me, I wear them around the house, but they kind of fog up. And then I won't be able to see. And what kind of exercises do you suggest? I do have a treadmill, and I do that
good
every day for 1 hour. And I also do some stretching and lightweight. And when it's really nice, I go outside for a walk for an hour. What other exercise?
All of those things are good. Mm-hmm. The treadmill, what you want to start doing, though, is do a little bit of start with walk, jog, walk, jog, walk, jog. Start to speed
when,
that up.
Excuse me for interrupting. When I do run or go faster, I do have backaches. So when I was seeing a therapist, she was saying, you don't have to walk or run. You will get the same benefit from just walking fast.
Yeah. It's not quite true. You burn the same calories. So if you're doing it for weight loss, if you're doing it for you know, energy consumption, walking and jogging and even running all burn the same calories per distance. But strength is a different issue. And so what we need to do is to strengthen those back muscles so they don't hurt. And so there are some exercises you can look up online. They'll show you illustrations. Do planks. Do you know what a plank is?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's like a board. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you get on your elbows and your toes and you hold your body straight and you see how long you can hold it and you start doing those. You do crunches. You're trying to strengthen your core, all those core muscles, because strong muscles don't hurt. And if you're having back pain from jogging, that means you're overstressing the muscles when you jog. So don't jog until you make the muscles a bit stronger. But then you walk, you jog even if it's only 10 seconds. Then you walk again, you jog a little bit. You slowly, slowly build up as you're able to do it without causing yourself pain. Okay. Anything you can do in a day without hurting is the right amount. But if you're triggering pain, you've done too much. That's just the rule. So listen to your body and work with it as your body accepts the activity. Walking outside is better than walking inside simply because it's more variety and the fresh air is nice. And actually, the things we breathe from the plants around us do impact our mood and make us happier. Mm. So walking around vegetation is better than walking inside with a treadmill. But, you know, if it's rainy and windy or 95 degrees out, the treadmill is better and safer. So, you do what you can do. But I would strongly suggest that you get a psychiatric consult to double check what your family doctor is deciding about your depression medications, okay?
Okay.
Because getting a second opinion is not an insult at the first doctor. Mm-hmm. Any doctor whose ego is so fragile they don't want their patient to take a second opinion doesn't belong in the business, because we're supposed to be the pros. Okay, what we do is should be whatever the patient benefits from. It never hurts to get a second or a third opinion.
Okay.
All right.
So just to be clear, do you think I should stay on mirtazapine? And then I made until I get the appointment with a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I wouldn't make a change till I got the psychiatrist's opinion on it. Okay, and you know to help you pick.
Yeah, but right now what I was saying, because right now I do have the two medications.
I understand.
Mirtazapine, because when the doctor gave me the new escitalopram. She told me to take half a pill of the mirtazapine and half a pill of the new one. And I haven't started that because after I read that all the you may suffer from all these things, it scared me so much that I said, I'm just going to call Dr. Mixon and say,
The side effect profiles are terrifying. I agree. Mm. But if you saw the side effects of aspirin and Tylenol, it would scare the bejabbers out of you.
Yes.
The reality is that, you know, most of that stuff doesn't happen, but the things that do happen consistently are fatigue, sleep disorders, loss of sexual desire, and weight gain. Those happen with almost all of the antidepressants. And that's why if we can use the lowest dose possible, and if we can do other things like physical activity to help get rid of the depression, I prefer it because that has fewer side effects, okay? But you got to do what you got to do. And depression is a killer. I don't want you depressed. But, you know, I'm the anti-aging doctor. I treat the normal but undesired changes of aging. I'm not a psychiatrist, and I haven't even been a country doctor for 25 years. So this is not an area I am expert in. So, but I would get the psychiatrist's opinion before I decided what I wanted to do long-term with antidepressants. All right?
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care, my dear. Bye-bye.
Aw, thank you for that call, Yolanda. Phone lines are ready for you, and they are free for you to call right now. If you have a question for Dr. Mixon, here is that number to get through. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. While we're waiting for that next call, Dr. Mixon, why don't we talk a little bit about when people come in to longevity, they get their blood test, then they get that big panel, which helps you help them know what's going on, especially when dealing with things like depression or hormones being so low.
All right. Well, we offer what we call the free health analysis appointment, and it gives us two simple tests. But the biggest thing is the history. We're going to have you fill out a multi-page history that's going to tell us a lot about what life has done to you up till now. And that's going to influence your doctor's opinions a whole lot. Then we're going to do a A1C, which tells us what percentage of your red blood cells have been damaged by sugar, by glucose. That tells us a lot about how fast your brain is likely to be shrinking, your risk of diabetes, degenerative arthritic changes, heart disease. Then we're also going to do an in-body, and that's going to measure the percentage of weight of your weight that is muscle versus fat. Mm-hmm. And that's critically important because you need to think not of cosmetics. Don't think of muscle and fat as how they make you look. That's not important, quite frankly. I know that's what people pay attention to.
Especially us women. We're like, I need to lose another 10 or 20.
But from a doctor's standpoint, how you look is pretty much immaterial. What we're worried about is fat is a very active hormone peptide enzyme producer that is producing compounds that will cause your brain cells to die faster, that will cause your joints to degenerate more quickly, that will raise your risk of cancer dramatically. Okay? And the heavier you are, the higher your risk of cancer, dementia, heart disease, diabetes all go. And you will have more pain. The compounds produced by fat impact inflammation throughout your body and increase the amount of pain you're having. And so we are after trying to decrease all of those bad things, right? Muscle, on the other hand, produces, we now know, over 300 things. I saw a paper last week that claims 600 things. I said,
whoa.
What the hell?
It keeps going up.
I can't keep track.
Yes.
Both muscle and fat are very active glands. They are producing things that are getting dumped into your bloodstream. The stuff produced by muscle is anti-inflammatory and healing. It helps you to grow new brain cells. It helps you to repair the damage of your peripheral neuropathies. It helps you to open up your arteries and prevent you from going blind and prevent your kidneys from going bad. So that ratio of muscle and fat in your extremities and in your torso is incredibly important. So if we look at your numbers and we say this is a person at high risk of having bad stuff happen to them, we're going to offer you and strongly offer you a full panel. And the full panel won't be free. That one's about $600. But if you paid out of pocket for that at a regular lab, it'd be over $2,500.
Wow. Yes.
So for $595, you're getting $2,500 worth of lab work, and you're getting an extra hour with the doctor. You don't get an hour with a doctor for $600, and you certainly don't get $2,500 worth of lab work anywhere else. That lab work is going to help us pinpoint where your risks and problems are. Then your doctor will be able to say, okay, here's what we're seeing. Here's what we think we could do for you. And they'll offer you an opportunity to become a patient at Longevity. You can accept it or reject it. It's up to you. Not your daddy, not your boss. I don't tell you what you got to do. if your goal in life is to get slow, fat, weak, dumb, sexless, and die as early as possible, then by all means, go do it. But on the other hand, if what your goal is to get stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, have a joyous, fun-filled, robust life, then come join the clinic. You know, and the choices are yours. Okay? Slow, fat, weak, dumb, sexless, slow, fast, strong, lean, smart, and sexy. Take your choice. Okay. It's just all it is. And yes, you got to pay for it, but you will pay less at our clinic than you would pay for a car.
There you go. Yes.
And if your car is more important to you than your body, then you make one choice. And if your body is more important to you than your car, you make a different choice. And, you know, life is choices.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a grown up and you're a free human being and you make a choice. I just encourage you to have a strong, fast, lean, smart, sexy, healthy, happy life.
Absolutely. And that's why longevity is here. And that's why we're here on the radio every week to talk with you about longevity, the sponsors of Leading Edge Medicine, and to let you know and let you be aware of why it's so important to get in and get that free health analysis to know what's going on in your body, why you feel like you do, and what you can do to make those changes. Here is that phone number to call. It's 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. And ask them for the free health analysis appointment. You can also go to our website, which is lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. You can pick the day, the time that works best for your schedule. We have three clinics, a longevity clinic in Tacoma, one in Kirkland and one in Linwood. You can pick the one nearest you. Okay, we hope that you'll call, and we hope to see you and meet you and get you on your way to feeling healthier. And feeling what, Dr. Mixon?
Strong, fast, lean, smart, sexy, and happy.
Absolutely. Give us a call, 866-86-YOUNG. Leading Edge Medicine continues, and the phone lines are open. Give us a call if you'd like to ask a question for Dr. Mixon. We'll be right back.
I said, hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sign? I'd give anything to make you mine, mine. I'll be your bidding and be at your beck and call. Yeah, I've never seen anyone looking so fine. Man, I gotta have her, she's a one of a kind. I'm going once, going twice. I'm sold on the lady in the second row. She's an 8, she's a 9, she's a 10, I know. She's got ruby red lips, blonde hair, blue eyes. And I'm about to bid my heart goodbye.
Oh, like such a fun song. Oh, good morning. Leading Edge Medicine here on the radio. We've got about 25 minutes left of our show today and room for you. We've got a room for a couple more calls. Here's the number to call, 800-465-8770 with your questions. We're almost to the end of the show. This is when the phones usually start lighting up like crazy, and we're trying to get them all in.
Everybody waits till the last minute, and then they call.
Yeah, we don't want you to do that. One of the questions, while we're waiting for that next call, that I've seen a lot on social media, because it's been in the news and on TV, and all the celebrities are doing it, and now regular folk are wanting to know more about, is it Ozempic?
Ozempic.
And then the other one, is it Mounjaro, maybe?
Mounjaro, yeah.
I always think of Kilimanjaro. So, what is the purpose of that, and why are so many people interested?
The original drugs were designed as anti-diabetes drugs. They lower blood sugar, they alter the way you process glucose, but a side effect, although most people are now wanting to take it for the side effect, is decreased appetite. And of course, if it decreases your appetite and you don't want to eat, you feel full fast, well, then you eat less and you get skinnier. And so it's being used as a weight loss drug.
Okay, that's the reason people in Hollywood are using it.
Hollywood is using it. And yeah, it's really kind of interesting. There's a shortage of these drugs now for the diabetics, because so many non-diabetics are using it for weight loss.
Wow.
And, but they work. And the Mounjaro is the newest one, and it works better than the Ozempic, about 50% better. These drugs are all about $1,000, depending on where you buy them, $1,000 to $1,200 a month. Which is kind of pricey. The other thing is, what has been found is, when people stop taking them, their appetite comes back
Uh-oh.
And they start eating more.
Uh-oh. And that
they
means...
they start regaining the weight.
Okay.
And so what do you do? Well, you got two choices. One is you can use that time in which your appetite is down to make a conscious lifestyle choice to do things like intermittent fasting and so on. It's much easier to fast when you're not hungry.
That's true.
That you can try to maintain that lifestyle choice after you stop the drug. And that would help you keep it down. So if you use the time you're on the medication to actually change your lifestyle, you've got a good chance then of keeping the weight off afterwards, because these do not work immediately. You start with a 0.25 milligram once a week for a month. Then you go to 0.5 milligram a week for the next month. And then the 1 milligram a week for the months after that. And then the final dose is 1.5 milligrams if you tolerate that.
So you're slowly going up.
And so you're talking about 3 or 4 months just to get up to the full dose.
Wow.
Okay. This gives you plenty of time to change your lifestyle and your pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, okay, I take the drug this week and I lose weight next week. No. These are slow drugs. You have to take them, you know, week after week after week after week, month after month, slowly raising the dose. If you raise the dose too fast, the side effects can be unbearable.
Okay.
Okay. And the side effects are nausea, vomiting, abdominal cramp, diarrhea.
Mm.
So gastrointestinal side effects are common.
Okay.
And there is now a lady who is suing the Ozempic people for $500,000 because she said nobody told her there could be serious GI side effects.
Wow. Aren't they written on the box? In the box.
In the box. You get a copy of this thing, and if you read that little tiny fine print stuff, it'll scare the bejabbers out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of side effects. A fair number of people cannot tolerate these drugs because they make you too miserable. But some people do fine with them.
Mm-hmm.
And enough people are doing fine with them that the companies are making billions.
Okay.
All right.
And is this a pill, an injection?
It's an injection.
Oh, it is.
It's okay. A once a week injection.
Okay.
Now they are now bringing out a pill.
Mm.
Okay. The pill is also $1,000 a month, though. So it's a...
Don't lose it.
So it's a smaller dose daily pill versus a once a week shot.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the way it's going. Interestingly, we had a pharmacist, a pharmacy in California contact our clinic and tell us they could get us this $1,000 a month medication for like $250 a month.
Wow.
For our patients. And so we got really tempted by that, because if we get the cost down to $250 instead of $1,000, that would, you know,
that's more doable.
A lot more people can afford it. The problem is that they're so successful at selling it to doctors' clinics that they keep running out.
Mm.
And if I buy this for my patient and then halfway through their therapy, I can't get it.
Oh.
Then now we got
that
a problem.
That can be a problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm waiting till they get a reliable supply before I offer it to my patients, because
okay.
I don't want to get them started and get them a third of the way into it and then have to say, sorry, we can't get it. Tough
You're
luck.
Stalling. Yeah.
Or,
oh boy.
I can't get you the $250 a month, but here's the $1,200 a month one.
Yeah.
Which I could always offer them, but you know, if.
And again, if they're a diabetic, then it will be covered.
They're diabetic. It's covered by insurance.
Okay. All right. So thank you for the questions about Ozempic and Mounjaro. Let's go back to the phones. We have Sharon calling in from Lakewood. Good morning, Sharon.
Hello, Sharon.
Hi, doctor. I wonder if you'd give an update on long COVID. Sometime back, you had a heart doctor from, I think, Bellevue, who talked about long COVID.
Yeah, he's actually in Kirkland.
His name was Reuben.
Reuben Maiden.
Yes.
Reuben Maiden. He's
which
my
made me think twice about what I had been going through for several months.
Okay.
So could you talk about that? And possibly,
yes.
I know the vaccine part is touchy,
well,
but could you get into it?
Sure, of course. I'm not afraid to go into anything.
Good question, Sharon.
I got a thick skin. If I make people angry, to hell with them. I deal with the facts, not the politics. Well, I deal with the politics too, but only when they they want to substitute their fantasies for the facts. Okay, long COVID is a real thing, and a significant portion of people that have had COVID are tired and lethargic, and sometimes they have decreased exercise tolerance. They can get fuzzy brain. It's a wide variety of symptoms. So there's no one symptom complex that constitutes long COVID, and that's why initially we were saying, "Is this real?" Because it's not that, you know, your left hand is going to hurt between 4 and 5 p.m. And if everybody's left hand hurts from 4 to 5 p.m., you know you've got a syndrome. This is all kinds of weird stuff happening. Bad stuff, but a wide variety of stuff. And it made it really hard to say this is the syndrome. There's a lot of studies being done right now on long COVID and a COVID period. And I saw a fascinating paper, I don't know, a week or 10 days ago. They're now doing total genome analysis on long COVID patients and comparing those to non-long COVID people.
Okay, what is a genome for those listening?
They're looking at all your DNA.
Ah, okay.
All your DNA, the entire human gene for you as an individual. Now, I mean, that's fascinating. It took 10 years to find the code for one human genome. They picked one person, they isolated their gene, and it took 10 years and $20 million to do one person's genome.
Wow.
Technology now has gene analyzers. We can do your entire genome for about $3,000 in 2 hours.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, so instead of $20 million in 10 years, we can now do it in 2 hours for $3,000.
Big difference.
Big, big difference. So with this new technology, they're actually running the entire genome on hundreds of people that have had long COVID and trying to see what are the genetic changes. Mm. Because COVID does change our genome. It's an RNA virus, and RNA viruses affect the way we make DNA. These RNA to DNA transcription is part of the way we reproduce our cells. And so RNA viruses are famous for changing your genome. And so we are finding now a large number of genes that long COVID people have in common that have apparently been inserted or changed by the virus.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, we're getting a smaller number of people that didn't have COVID but just had the vaccine that are also getting similar sort of symptoms to long COVID. And so the fascinating thing is, are some of the vaccines making similar changes, apparently in a much smaller subset of people, but still, you know, anybody, if it happens to you, it's 100% for you.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 1 in 10,000, you're one person, it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
So, progress is being made. We're looking at what's really and truly happening. Something bad is happening from this virus. The interesting thing is, and the data is iffy at this point, is there a correlation with how severe your infection was and your risk of long COVID?
Mm.
Because COVID is now causing very mild infections for the most part. Most people catching COVID are getting a runny nose for a few days, a few muscle aches, and 2 or 3 days they're well. You know, it's like all viruses do when they first come in the human, the first passage is really devastating. And then over time, we adjust to the virus, and the virus adjusts to us, and it gets less and less serious.
And you said this, when it started, it's going to get lighter,
yep,
lighter, lighter. And it has over the last 3.5 years now.
Yes, it has. And I think the evidence is higher and higher and higher that this did come out of the Wuhan lab.
Mm.
This was the Chinese Communist Party virus. You know, I don't think it was on purpose. I think it was just sloppy lab work. But nevertheless, that's what happened. But now we got to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we had COVID, my husband and I, a long time mm-hmm. after I had these other symptoms. And it was, like you say, very slight. But the other symptoms started after I had the booster.
Mm-hmm.
I can date that back. And because I've been you know, not really sick, but all these symptoms. And of course, I look on the internet and I've got almost all of them, but I still can function. But mm-hmm. it's a pain to have this hanging over my head all the time because fuzzy head is a lot of it.
Yes, yes. Okay, let me tell you the one thing, or two things, that seem to be the most effective at treating long COVID. And I'm going to leave that as a tease because we got to take a break. But all of you people want to know what the best data to date is to treat long COVID.
We're going to talk about that.
Listen when we come back.
Okay, you stay right there. We'll be back with Sharon talking about long COVID and what you can do. And Joe, we're going to get to your call too before the end of the show. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
The sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio. My name is Lynette. And Sharon on the line talking about long COVID. And Dr. Mixon, what can we do?
Okay, and you're probably not going to like this answer, but the single best answer we have for long COVID right now is for men to get their percentage of body fat to 12% or so. Get it under 15%.
Okay.
And for women to get the percentage of body fat down to 22% or less.
Okay.
And to do resistance exercise training and build muscle mass.
Okay. Losing weight and exercising.
Okay, well, I'm your patient, and I'm not overweight, so
okay. There we go. Okay,
but these are the two specific things that the studies are showing. And for some reason, body fat aggravates the inflammation, and so you want to get as lean as practical. And that's why I said for a man down around 12 to 15%, women 22 to 24%. Women can do better with long COVID with more body fat than men can, which is kind of fascinating. You guys tolerate it better than we do.
Yeah.
but then the resistance training is easier for the men to make muscle mass. And so and exercise, the reason I say you're not going to like it, exercise is tough when you got long COVID.
Yes, when you're tired and you don't want to move.
And everything hurts.
But you got to do something. You got to do something, right, Dr.
Well,
Mixon?
And it's got to be more than something. I mean, what they're actually doing to alleviate the symptoms is they're putting them on a formalized exercise program that involves resistance anaerobic training. And with a long COVID patient, when they're so tired and fuzzy headed and everything hurts and they're physically weak because they do get weak, exercise is no fun. It's miserable.
Oh, and you know that. You've had surgeries and you've had to do that, but you know it's good for you.
But yeah, but for the long COVID patients, I mean, it's a miserable prescription.
Yeah.
But it also
seems... Is it likely to ever go away?
Well, again, we're getting the best resolution with the people that build the most muscle mass, which is kind of fascinating.
Wow.
You know, there's something about those myokines that are being produced by contracting muscle that seems to be counteracting what the virus is doing to us. So those healing myokines are critical. But the question, of course, is how do you get people that are so tired they can barely walk and hurt when they move to get involved in an aggressive exercise program? I mean, that really takes a coach, you know, with a Simon Legree sort of attitude.
Yes, yes.
So,
is that helpful for you, Sharon?
Yeah, I'm glad you did address that. I think it's time because there's just too many. When you look at the internet and the hospitals say the number of people that are affected, it's crazy. We've got to have some kind of answers. So I appreciate your help. I will follow your directions. And thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Thank
Take
you, Sharon.
Care, Sharon. Bye-bye.
And glad you're a patient here at
Longevity. I'm glad she's a patient. And, yeah. And that ought to make it a bit easier for her.
Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't have the weight.
But she doesn't have the weight issue, which is good. Mm-hmm. You know, because then she doesn't have the body fat that is increasing the inflammation that the COVID is already causing. And then the trick is to try to overcome that with the myokines produced by contracting muscle.
Okay.
And the more muscle you can build and the more vigorously and frequently it contracts, the more myokines you produce to fight the long COVID.
Okay. And everything else, right? It's good for you.
And heart disease and dementia and everything else.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's something we're coming across that is important for depression. It's important for chronic fatigue. It's important for now for long COVID. It's important just for quality of life. It's important for erectile dysfunction. It's important for almost anything and everything you can mention, from heart disease to kidney failure, is just that, those healing myokines.
Wow.
What we really would love to do would be able to produce,
yes, you know, package them up,
300 or 400 or however many myokines that muscle produces, manufacture them, yes, in a laboratory and infuse them into people with an IV, you know, and,
perfect,
and not have to.
That's what you're working on. Add that to your list of to-dos, Dr. Mixon. Okay, well, let's take one more call for today. We've got Joe waiting patiently.
Hello,
in
Joe.
Chehalis. Hi there, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I started growing sprouts for my salads. I got broccoli, uh-huh, and radish, and I was wondering the beets, if beets would be any good, would they have the same benefit of the nitrous oxide as an adult or a mature beet?
Oh, beet sprouts?
I don't know. I really don't know. I've never looked at it.
Wow.
Okay, you've piqued my interest.
Yeah.
I mean, the sprouts increase protein production. I mean, so sprouting seeds, you know, the seeds have an awful lot of benefits to start with. That's why we like you to do nuts and seeds. Sprouts are very rich in proteins of almost every nature. But the mature beet is the one that has the nitrites. And I don't know what the nitrite concentration would be in the sprout.
Mm.
I have no idea. I will delve into the literature and see if I can find an answer for you. But I just have to claim ignorance. Sorry.
Wow.
Well, no, that'd be great. I listen every Saturday. So
wonderful.
If you okay. find out, I'm out there.
Very good. Okay, so Joe, we got to ask, what's your favorite sprout that you're enjoying?
Well, broccoli. I'm a big fan of broccoli,
and
I can't really grow full grown broccoli, but I can do the sprouts.
Uh-huh.
So this is kind of a new hobby of mine, and if the beets are beneficial for me in that way, I'll do the beets too. And so it'll be broccoli, radish, and beets. And that'll be it. Variety.
Well, that sounds awfully good to me. But
yes, now I want a salad. Why is that?
Yes, it's not I understand. Even I'm getting a salad craving myself. All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. Appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you so much, Joe. Well, a lot of good questions and a lot of information today.
And several people that I couldn't answer very well.
Yes. A few questions in there that were like, wow, stumped the doctor today.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, that's the way it works.
It happens every once in a while.
I don't claim to know everything. I wish I did.
No, no. All right. So we started off the show almost 2 hours ago talking about COVID's making the news with summer COVID.
Yeah.
So what would you say, as we've got 2 minutes left of the show, what are some things to do, probably like any other summertime virus, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, even before this so-called COVID outbreak,
mm-hmm.
The cousins to this virus were causing about 30% of the common colds. So we already had these COVID-like viruses out there, and we've now just added a third one. That's
okay.
what it was. We had two, and now we have three, and it's going to be causing colds. This one, on the other hand, does seem to have more of a neurologic impact.
Mm.
Than its cousins. And so we'll have to wait and see if we adapt to it or adapts to us better so it stops doing that.
Okay.
But, you know, the research is ongoing. I'm seeing papers on it every week. People are isolating the genetic changes. Then the question is, what do those translate to in the real world, and what can we do about it?
Ah, okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic. And if you're not a patient, we would love to have you come in and take advantage of the free health analysis appointment. Find out what's going on in your body and what you can do to take care of some of those risks and get going and get better, get moving, get leaner, stronger, faster, smarter, sexier, and
happier.
Oh, yes. Here's the number to call, 866-86-YOUNG, to make that health analysis appointment. You can also go on our website at lmclinic.com. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your Seafair weekend, and we will be back with you next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine.